Blog Talk Radio.
From the Atlantic to the Pacific tonight, it is Pop Culture Stars. I hope everyone's doing well. We've had a really crazy 10 days here in the United States, and we're very fortunate tonight, after I introduce our co-hosts, we have a guest, one of our very good friends who is with us for several podcasts a week, and he is from Hollywood, and he's going to tell us what in the heck is going on, because I know I spoke with him a couple days ago, and it was a little tense. So I will introduce you, kind sir, in just a little bit. Ladies first, the queen of pop culture stars from the great capital of North Carolina. Here she is. Liz Brackett. How you doing tonight, Liz?
Wow.
I take it I've been gone too long. Can't remember my name.
No,
I'm good.
I was so excited you were here. It's like, it is, you know how that is. But no, it's great to have you here. And
yeah,
I know
always
you're.
Forget my name too.
Yeah, well, no, I think I've known you long enough. You bought my first time we met. You bought me dinner. That was so sweet of you. Anyway, we're really glad to have you here. Listen, honey, you are a crowd favorite here at Pop Culture Stars. And then okay. And then we have from the Studio I, Indianapolis, Indiana, here is Todd Saxon. Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding, supernatural, and ecstatic to be here, people. The beautiful sunset going on, the last dregs of daylight here happening. Things are... They're quieter tonight, so that's a good thing. I'll take it. I hope everybody's doing well.
Yep, I think everyone seems to be doing well here on the podcast. And speaking of doing well, does he have his Pabst Blue Ribbon and does he have his cigar from Godfather's Cigar, Dave Atwell?
Indeed I do. What are you sitting under the deck right now watching me? What's going on here? You've got the Justin thing going on where you're saying, yes, indeed, I am enjoying a cigar from Godfather Cigars and a cold malt beverage with the blue ribbon on it. And all's good down here. Not to start things off on a sour note, but if I may break down a one-minute rant.
Sure.
I got a message from my dad with pictures of what happened to the Vietnam Memorial. Since we are on broadcasting radio, let me go ahead and throw the challenge out there. Whoever you are, I don't care if it's one of you or 10 of you or 100 of you, you're the lowest form. You are nothing more than a pissant of a human being. And if you ever get itchy in the shorts and you feel like life isn't treating you fairly and, you know, you're not getting a participant ribbon today, you probably stole the paint. And if you didn't steal the paint, you probably used the stimulus money this fantastic, wonderful country supplied you, because your unemployed ass didn't have any money to start with, but you still got a stimulus check. But here's my challenge. Come find me, and I'll discuss it with you. Because to help me, Christ, if I ever catch somebody doing that in my person, I will gladly sit in prison forever. How long? And about the time I get out, you might be coming out of your coma, and I will do it all over again. That is the most disgusting, vile, just despicable thing that I've seen. And like I said, you can't classify it as treason because it's worse than that. So whoever you are, I'm easy to find, easy name to look me up on Facebook and everything else. Come pay me a visit. Because when I'm done pulling your damn tongue up around your damn throat, you'll understand. But, yeah, I'm just a little pissed about that, guys. So pardon me. I appreciate you letting me get that off my chest. But I was lucky enough to get my dad back. And my dad retired after 30 years in the Marine Corps as a sergeant major. And you guys have heard me say it many a times that it's real cliche to blame your parents for all your shortcomings. And I'm a person that blames my parents for my success. And it's because of their hard work. It's because of the dirt under their fingernails that taught me to do the same. My dad's a hero. My dad could stomp anybody's ass on the planet. And he did two tours of duty in Vietnam, one of which I was born while he was there. And I shared that document with a bunch of people on Facebook just here recently. Todd, I know you saw it.
Indeed.
And I think about the sacrifices that Dad made. I think about the sacrifices that my mother made. And it disgusts the hell out of me to the point where I don't know if I'd be able to control myself around the individual and or individuals who did that. So may God strike you down before I get to you. So I'll say no more,
okay.
Guys. Appreciate you letting me get that off my chest.
Thank you, kind sir. We have freedom of speech here. And tonight, let's see, I've got everybody. I have got Liz. I have got Todd. I have got Dave. And I want to thank very much co-host of Murder 123 and co-host of Scarycast from Hollywood, California, one of the finest people I have ever met, Devin Tate. How are you doing tonight, Devin?
Oh, hey, Dr. John. Thank you for that introduction. So flattering, but I appreciate it. I'm doing well.
Well, all I got to say is if it weren't for the damn Adams family, I would never know you. So thank you,
right?
Gomez and Morticia. That's right. I interviewed him, and I said those famous immortal words, "Why aren't you a co-host of a podcast?" You never knew what that was going to get you into, did you? Okay, but anyway.
I sure didn't.
Yeah, now.
One of us.
So tell us, first of all, tell everybody exactly where you're from, because we do say Hollywood, and what's your day job over there, and what in the heck has been going on? You can just let it all out, buddy. The floor is
sure,
yours.
Sure, well, thanks. Thank you so much for having me and letting me talk a little bit about what's going on out here. I'm originally from Kansas. I moved out here in the year 2000. So I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and I lived in Kansas during the 92 riots. So this is a new territory for me, everything that's going on out here right now. And it started on Saturday, really. I mean, I know Friday night there was some rioting downtown, which is about probably 10 miles away from where I live. So I couldn't really see or hear anything.
Downtown being downtown what city?
Downtown Los Angeles.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
Yeah. So I live right on the border of Hollywood and West Hollywood. So we're a little, we're northwest of downtown L.A. So that's when the protests started out downtown L.A., but the next day they moved to an area. A lot of people know there's a shopping center called The Grove, and it's right next to the original farmer's market, which is a historic, farmer's market that's been here for many years. So that's right down the street from me. We walk down there a lot, to go eat or go shopping or go to the movies. So I woke up on Saturday and I heard all these helicopters and a lot of sirens. So I looked online and it turned out that there was a protest that had started down there, and then it devolved into basically rioting. They jumped up on a city bus and were graffitiing it, and they set some cop cars on fire, and it was just a really bad scene. So all day there were more helicopters and more sirens, and eventually they started moving north towards where I live, and they were on Melrose Avenue, which is three blocks away from where I live. On the news, they were showing a corner literally three blocks down on my street where there was looting happening at that moment. So it was, you know, really chaotic. I wasn't personally worried for my safety because it was all commercial areas, right? It was all stores. They weren't going after, you know, apartment buildings or homes or people's cars or anything like that. So it was just more nerve-wracking with the noise and the chaos and everything, and just, you know, worrying about what was going to happen, how far it was going to be taken. So that was Saturday. It kind of moved around on Sunday. They went to Long Beach and Santa Monica. So those are communities that are, you know, miles away from where I live, but still part of the region here. You know, places that we all spend time at and we know people who live there. So then it came to Hollywood on Monday. Monday's when we had the violent, the rioting and the looting. There was a couple of drug stores, some shoe stores. You know, we still have metal roll-down doors on most of the shops on Hollywood Boulevard from the 92 riots. So there wasn't as much damage as there could have been because we're already protected. And that's where I should mention that I work for a company called the Hollywood Partnership, and we're a nonprofit organization that basically looks after Hollywood, because Hollywood is just a part of the city of Los Angeles. We're not a separate city, so we don't have our own city hall or police force or anything like that. We have to rely on the city of Los Angeles to, you know, look after our streets and clean up everything, and they're not able to do a great job of that just because Los Angeles is huge, right? So even though Hollywood is obviously a tourist destination and people come from all around the world to come to Hollywood Boulevard, you know, the city of LA kind of just treats it like it's any other street out of the, you know, millions, you know, of square feet of streets that we have here. So we formed in 1996 before I even lived here. And it's basically a property-based improvement district where the property owners pay in an additional assessment when they pay their tax bill. So that funds our efforts to keep Hollywood clean and safe. So we spend about $7 million every year on things like cleaning and tree trimming and trash removal. And we do have security. We do have an armed security patrol, which is a little controversial. So we've been doing a lot of work lately to kind of reduce the dependence on the armed patrol and move more towards an ambassador approach. That's what we had been doing before COVID happened. So we're kind of in the middle of this program change. But so, you know, COVID happened. A lot of our businesses were going out of business. We have looting too. But, you know, the good news is in the last couple of days, it has seemed to have shifted to be much more peaceful protesting. So I did go out to a protest today at noon. I kind of just went on my lunch break because it was right down the street from where I live. And it was very peaceful. There's no rioting or looting or any disrespect happening. There were some cars that got blocked, you know, in the street. They couldn't get to where they were going. But I kind of wonder where people are going at right now when everything's closed anyway.
So basically, you've gone from closures from COVID-19 directly to closures because of the riots and protests.
That's exactly what's happened, yeah. So it's going to be, you know, it remains to be seen when this is all over what it's going to look like. It's going to look a lot different. There's going to be a lot of mom-and-pop shops that just couldn't weather everything that they had to go through.
Yeah. And one thing that I wanted to mention to everybody, and this is something that seems to have escaped all the news channels and everything, but as if we didn't have enough problems with COVID-19. By the way, did anyone see that AMC Theaters is probably going to go out of business? Saw that today.
I did.
I heard
that. Yes. AMC is, you know, the stock's down to under $4 a share. It is about, it, you know, they just said, if we can't get open this summer, we're going to have to close. AMC has been a staple of life for every one of us. It's been one of the theaters that we know and we've gone to, and it's a shame to see that happening. But what we have not talked about is the gigantic financial damage. First of all, we went through COVID, and you know, a number of businesses, many mom and pops, were not able to make it. And now we have billions of dollars of damage in this country. Billions of dollars. When you look at the damage to Washington, D.C., New York City, and Minneapolis and Chicago, notwithstanding Atlanta, Miami, St. Louis, you know, just so many of these large cities, where are the insurance companies going to get this money? They're going to have to fork over some money. They're not immune to the to violence. You know, they talk about acts of God. Well, this is not considered a riot is not an act of God. They can get away if a UFO lands and destroys a city. They can probably get away with that. That's an act of God. Or if some country sent some troops over and plowed right through downtown Atlanta, they could probably avoid that. But there's nothing you can do about just damage and vandalism. This, we are going to be in one heck of a mess when the violence subsides and we start taking inventory. And now, Devin, I know you work for a nonprofit, and you guys are always you're always having to watch money, watch your budget, and make sure you get the appropriate value for what you spend for, you know, to keep the city of Hollywood up. We'll call it a city. Am I correct, Devin? You
exactly.
Gotta watch that.
That's exactly right.
And now, and I don't know if you know, because if I remember correctly, you're working at home, but I think those that are in the know are beginning to get concerned about the further stress on the economy. Am I correct?
That's definitely for sure. Yeah, we're you know, personally for our organization, we're looking at a potential 20% decrease in budget for next year. At this time, that was before the looting happened, so that was just from COVID. So it's probably going to be, you know, bigger numbers than 20%, I'm sure.
And that means some people might lose their jobs, correct?
Well, we have decided not to reduce any people's – we're not reducing jobs, no. So we're definitely not laying anybody off. But, you know, there's certain plans that we had to expand things that may not be able to expand for a while, if ever, at this point.
Yeah, I was really just talking about in general – in the economy, people are going to lose they're going to lose their jobs for this. Some stores are not going to be able to open. Some stores are not, you know, from what I hear in New York, some stores are not even there anymore. So I mean,
we're so dependent on things like restaurants and bars and entertainment venues, right? That's like what Hollywood and LA is known for.
That's what it is. Yeah,
those people have been out of work since March. You know, there's no bar open, no concert venues open, and they're not going to be open, you know, until next year probably. So it's, what do we do to help everybody, you know, that's not making any money right now?
Right. And there was a lady, they had a lady from one of the poorer sections of Washington, D.C., and she was crying. She said, my grocery store is gone. The stores that I went to buy everything, they're gone, and I don't have any transportation. And the buses, they say the buses won't be running for 6 months. What am I going to do? I mean, so we are in a terrible problem, and I don't know how the economy is going to handle it. And when I say I'm not just looking at the economy, but I'm saying we all have to have a decent economy to be able to live. We just do. And so I tell you what, I'd like for each one of our fantastic co-hosts to pose a question to Devin about what's been going on out there, because we are fortunate to have somebody who was, in a sense, in ground zero. It was three blocks from your house?
Yeah.
You know what was happening. So, yeah, let's start. Just whoever wants to fire a question. I think we're fortunate to have Devin with us tonight.
We'll throw some of this stuff down and tell you how some things here are happening in Indy, Devin. Just stop, by the way, for the, just so you're clear on that. I know we've only got to share one other show one other time. The downtown has had its eventfulness. Tried to expand on Saturday, fairly early at that, to south of the city proper, to one of the larger mall districts, and they went all Negan on it, were able to shut that shit down, basically. They kept a heavy presence. But we've had the, you know, the emergency notifications via text message. Man, sometimes those things, I know, they'll send it repeatedly in the middle of the night, and you're like, dude, seriously, you know, it's, the only people not sleeping are the riders, the, of course, first responders. The building that I work in, there's nothing happening in there. And there are, it's a 28-story building, ton of businesses in there. And there's a lot of stuff shut down right now because of those things, because of the damages down there. The looking at a, you know, got a, my laundromat. Liz knows it. Our girl from the laundromat, Liz, where her hubby works, that place got destroyed. Her hubby's out of a job, by the way. When Liz was up here, I drag that poor girl through my normal Friday cycle, which is going and doing laundry, so that poor girl had to tolerate me doing that. But
she taught me how to fold my clothes like the military did, and I said, yeah, and now I have like compact folding for like, it was a benefit for me. So though you drug me around, it was quite the benefit for me.
Clearly she ran with it, people. We had poor girl, she had to deal with me, just, you know, it's my routine. But you know, I just watching, it's been like cause and effect. We got a few of our folks that actually live downtown, you know, a couple single folks, a couple folks that are married and away from their families. And so, you know, they go for a little loft type thing or whatever, just, you know, some sort of, you know, efficiency type apartment or something down there. And man, they got all this stuff going on around them. So what are you seeing, how some of those, and I mean, that's just real quick, that's just me. I'm just one guy. And that's what I'm watching, I'm seeing in that, you know, in my backyard. Are you seeing some of those, you know, things that may or may not relate to you that way?
Where do you live?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I have a cousin who lives there.
Have you heard from your cousin?
Later, by the way, I want to ask where in Kansas, because I recruited in that state.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I grew up in basically northwestern Kansas in Russell County. And then I went to Hayes. Fort Hayes State University is the college there, and that's where I went to college. And I lived in Hayes for about 8 years before I moved to L.A.
Okay, so I recruited out of Hutchinson, where your state fair is held.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the state fair there, and I had other cousins that lived in Hutch, so we used to go there, you know, every year at least.
Yeah, the you know, just, I was bouncing all around Pratt and, you know, Grand Prairie, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know the same area there then.
How do you like that stuff? Go ahead. Just for the rest of the co-hosts, go ahead. I dare you. Hop it.
What's that?
Oh, I was just pulling the other co-host's chains. Go ahead. Top that. How we, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely chewed some of the same dirt.
For sure.
I like it. But, yeah, so, you know, I was just being able to, you know, point out how some of the people I know have so much stuff going on around them, some of the odds and ends impacts.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Oh, I got to go close my wonderful sliding door. Sorry about that.
Well, it's been really good to see people kind of pulling together, you know, like that's, I think, what we do best, right, in this country. Neighbors come together, help each other. So we've seen a lot of neighborhoods kind of uniting to, you know, basically come out and make their presence known in their own neighborhood. And I think that, you know, when you have people out there, you know, kind of guarding their storefront or guarding their home or just looking out for it and kind of talking to their neighbors, you know, I think that's always a good thing when people come together. So unfortunately, it's not always the best reason that brings people together, but it is a benefit of, you know, a side benefit.
You know, there's a couple things in that. My thought process. One is that, you know, that just coming out talking to each other, little things. Those I want to talk about those little things that mean a lot. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes there's just those little intangibles that you know, it's not a money thing, it's not a, you know, there's not necessarily a full belly thing or whatever, but that, you know, just those little, you know, maybe somebody says, you know, there's D out there doing the lawn or whatever, and you know, and we do the front neighbors might help the next neighbor with something little or something. Come out there, hand them a beer, have a nice cold water for them, little things like that that are huge. That and I've always said bad situations really demonstrate a person's character.
Mm-hmm.
And those that pull together and do things, fight those that are, let's say, doing not good things, it speaks volumes about their character. That's my mind.
Absolutely, it really is. Well, now, Liz, we know that you may have to go soon. Do you have any questions for Devin about what was going on out there or any facts you want to find out or whatever? I wanted to make sure that you got a chance to talk before you have to head to parts unknown like many wrestlers do.
Ooh, interesting subject. So I guess the thing that I'm most interested in is, are they making it a point to deviate between the rioters and the protesters? Because there have been several days of unsettling unrest, and they're accusing protesters of doing all of that. And granted, there are some doing it, but are they trying to make it a point to explain that just because it happens to fall on the same coattails doesn't mean that protesting is only tearing everything up? Like, are they making it a point to explain that there are peaceful protests going on constantly, there are just a few bad eggs that are ruining it, making the image look bad?
I think they are. I think the media has finally started to really hammer home that differentiation. And it's helped that, you know, in the last, you know, today and yesterday and the day before, we've had a lot more peaceful protests where nothing, you know, nothing bad did happen. Or, you know, unfortunately, we have a really early curfew here right now because of everything going on. So the last couple of days, we had a curfew around 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, depending on what neighborhood you might be in. Unfortunately, there were a lot of protesters that got arrested just for being out past curfew. And the thing is, they changed them a lot. And, you know, like I explained, that Hollywood is just part of the city of Los Angeles, but West Hollywood is a separate city, as is Beverly Hills, as is Santa Monica. So West Hollywood had a 4 p.m. curfew, whereas L.A. had a 6 p.m. curfew. And then at some point, L.A. changed theirs to 5. And so people who are out there protesting, thinking that they had, you know, another hour to get back to their car to get home or, you know, walk home, whatever, suddenly they were out past curfew, you know, and they really had no way to get out of there safely. So a lot of people did get arrested. And then I think there's a real visceral feedback to that of people getting angry at seeing protesters, innocent protesters being arrested. So today they moved our curfew to 10 p.m., I think, to allow people to kind of get out there and make themselves known. And we're trusting people now to be peaceful and be respectful. And when they see those groups splinter off to do criminal activity, that's when it becomes a separate event from the protest.
I mean, here in Myrtle Beach, we had the cops lay down their weapons and march with the protesters this weekend. That's a pretty strong
awesome.
Statement.
That's not unheard of.
That's not unheard of
in a lot
statement.
Of places. But I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to make a very, very distinct point that those same protesters who were of the police department who did lay their weapons down at Neil were also given the same orders 15 minutes after the camera stopped rolling to gas the innocent protesters. Just so that you're aware that I had a lot of insider knowledge because I had a lot of friends who are shooting the protests. So there's a lot of stuff that I know that isn't shown on media because I have cam ops that are out there working it. So what they're not telling you is, yeah, they're laying down their weapons and they're kneeling with the crowd. But as soon as that unity and that photo opportunity is gone, they have been given instructions, gas everybody, and once the cameras are out of the faces of these people, once their PR people have left, they're like unleashing holy hell on these people, including the cam ops, including the producers, including the protesters. Just as soon as their cam op is that moment is gone, they're the same as they were before they laid their weapons down. So don't get it twisted. Just because you see that camera moment where they go, oh, this is unity. Now, I'm not saying everywhere that the officers did that, because I'm not saying that every single place where the officers laid down their weapons and where they knelt with the protesters that they did that. But I will say there was a large quantity of places that did it as a PR stunt.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately.
And
I don't mean to bust anybody's bubbles.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of opportunism going on of all types. So when there's protests and news cameras, people have their message that they want to spread, whether it's true or not. And so, that's the hard part is right now, a lot of Americans are, they're not comfortable going out and being in public because of COVID. So a lot of people are relying on the images that the news shows them. And, the news is designed to keep your eyes peeled on it. So they're not necessarily going to show you a peaceful protest when they could be showing you looting and rioting and a car chase, right? So, a lot of people have this skewed image of what's happening because, if they don't go out and see it for themselves, it's hard to know what's really going on.
Yeah. I've had quite a few people that I know have been caught. I've got quite a few people that I know that have been unlawfully arrested. I mean, it's more than what you're just seeing on TV. Because what you see on TV is just one of several crews that are out there. I mean, I have friends who have been treated so horribly out there just trying to document. And they're not even, it breaks my heart. Like, these are people who are newly married. These are people who have their wives that have just had babies. And they're out there trying to share the truth of what's going on. And yet you're putting your life in danger. I don't know. I worry for my friends a lot because they go beyond the lines that a lot of people go because they are media, because they do have press badges, and they get in a position sometimes where they're just caught in the wrong spot. And I don't want anybody to get it twisted. Yes, there are great things and there are great strides that are being made, but don't for one second think that this is the end of it because there's more to it than what you actually able to do.
Thanks for that reflection, because some of us like me didn't know it. That's why we're having this show tonight, was to find out what's going on. Now, Dave Atwell, you've been very quiet. I am concerned about you. What would you like to speak with Devin about?
I'm enjoying this cigar, and I appreciate listening to everybody's. And it's good. It's good having Devin on tonight because. Sometimes the left coast might, it could be Mars compared to what goes on the East Coast a lot of times. And, it's always good. And that's the thing about me. It's where I developed the trait. I don't know but I am proud of the fact that I am able to listen to people with different opinions and different backgrounds and everything, and I'm able to listen to what they have to say, and I am able to modify how I feel by getting the different views. But I will go on and say, like my rant about your little climate change girl a couple weeks ago, again, the minute you abandon adult, mature, respectful speech to one another, you lose me. And we need to do a better job of self-policing. Now, I have got a ton of family members and close friends that are in law enforcement. And as a matter of fact, two of my cousins are Maryland State Patrols right now. One is in Baltimore, and the other one is in D.C. And I called my uncle night before last, and I says, hey, you know, give me some good news, please, you know. He didn't have any. And I will tell you, both of my cousins and my uncle in particular would give you the shirt off their backs. My Uncle John is a fantastic guy. And I had even said to him, I says, we have got to do a better job of policing ourselves, okay? And this ass clown who committed murder, you can mold it any way you want to. The guy is a murderer. He had a litany of disciplinary actions. Now, you know, Todd's worked with me for many, many years, and Todd will tell you.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, you don't have, you've got cashiers out there that get fired over being $50 short in their till. You have, you know, employees that lose their jobs every day over, though they were infractions, they were minute. They were not devastating. And how this guy was able to stay active duty police with that many demerits is just, it's a head scratcher. What was he doing in uniform? Because obviously he was a problem. Now, with that being said, society has to own their piece too. And not so long ago, we had a discussion on here about the race car driver that dropped the heinous N-word on the internet, and his entire career was gone, okay? And I had mentioned how we need to eliminate that word from our language altogether. That is the self-policing. We all, those other three cops that were involved, why did they not do something to slow this guy down? So, I mean, are the cops solely to blame for this whole fiasco? I dare say not, because there's a lot of good that the police do that never get any credit for it. But my question is, where was the policing there on the job? Now, society-wise, we've got to quit being so hair trigger. I said it the other day. We should get this worked up every time somebody is murdered. Okay?
Absolutely.
Memorial Day weekend, an elderly couple, 81 and 82, I believe, went to Arlington Cemetery to go see their fallen son on Memorial Day. When they walked back to their car, they were held up, both shot in the head and robbed. Okay? The only reason why I know it. It's because it happened in Arlington. And my dad's retired sergeant major, and my uncle is retired Capitol Police and Prince George's County Sheriff's Department. That's why I know. Never made the news. Two people, elderly, were shot and robbed for no reason. Okay? And I'm not even going to throw the color into it. I'm not going to throw the race into it. Because it doesn't matter. These two people died for no reason at all. Where is my protest for that? All right. That's my point, is that it's a where people have, and they've let the media kind of get them into the stir. It's not a, you know, religious thing. It's not a sexual bias thing. It's not a race thing. It's a good versus evil. It's for those who do versus those who don't. We've all worked with that guy who ate the last slice of pizza. We've all worked with that guy who can't flush the toilet. We've all worked with that guy who can't roll a cart back to the damn corral. Those are the ones that are the problems. And we as society, we need to start policing ourselves and quit making up excuses to placate one another. And so with all that being said, here in Jacksonville, there was some scuttlebutt about something getting ready to go down. In case y'all hadn't heard, Greenville and Fayetteville got tore to pieces. Didn't make the news because we're not, you know, we're not St. Louis, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. But
you're talking about Greenville, Greenville, North Carolina?
Yeah, they tore the hell out of both of them. And Wilmington, downtown Wilmington got tore up. And there was some scuttlebutt about something going on in Jacksonville. All right. The Target here in town put their storm shutters up. You know those metal louvers that you put up for hurricanes?
Yeah.
They closed the building down, sent the staff home. Now, here's the nifty little thing about them sending the staff home. Those poor bastards didn't get paid that night. Okay? So there we go again. Guys like me and you went home, going to have a short paycheck. Why? Because of some ding-a-ling that doesn't really care about what that cop did, really doesn't care about race, just wants to be an ignorant little pissant and tear things up. Okay? They shut down the Walmart on 17, and the cops put a present up. I mean, they were there. And the city of Jacksonville got behind them and said, hell yeah. And did we have our little march out here? Yes, we did. And many people attended, and many people shook hands and held up their signs. They didn't social distance, and they didn't wear masks. Oh, my God. That's a whole different conversation. But it's funny how this rioting has totally erased the COVID thing, man. We finally found a cure.
Horrible.
We've been sitting here for the last 3 months trying to figure out how to get an inoculation for this thing. All we had to do was burn down the Target, and it solved everything, you know. But, yeah, so I guess my question to Devin is, I see how people in my community are circling around the cops, and the cops are circling around the citizens. You know what I mean? Where everybody's kind of coming together and joining hands and saying, it's the little pricks that are setting things on fire we have a problem with. We don't have a beef with you. You don't have a beef with us. But these little pissants we do have a beef with.
Right.
Is the climate the same? Because where you're at, and that was another interesting thing that I got to thinking about, all these celebrities that usually are bouncing their gums back and forth about what's going on, a lot of them have been oddly silent. And I'm thinking, okay, if they're throwing down in L.A. and Beverly Hills and all those places, there's an awful lot of celebrities living there going, oh, Christ, I hope they don't climb my fence. So...
Right.
Oh,
you know,
wait a minute. The fence they have around their property that should not be on the border, just saying.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Good call. But what's the climate between the citizenry and the police force there? Is it a more cooperative thing, or is it more a combative?
Well, it's definitely still tense. You know, I think there's a lot of people that have come out to support the LAPD. You know, I personally have a lot of friends on LAPD, and it really is hard to see the way that a lot of them are being lumped in and treated, you know, the same as a lot of these officers are the opposite. You know, they really are truly there to help people, protect and serve, you know. I think that, you know, as these protests are peaceful, are being, you know, put in the same area with the police, and they're talking and they're getting along, they're kind of coming to some sort of understanding, you know, to that degree, I think it's getting a little bit better. But I think, you know, like you said, the left coast here in LA, we're very, very liberal, and there's not a lot of desire left to continue funding LAPD levels. So it all be defund LAPD in the budget of LAPD. So I think that might be the direction that we're moving towards.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I just, you know, I said it today at work. I says, you know, and this is going to sound creepy. Speaking of creepy, if you haven't watched the Jeffrey Epstein thing on Netflix, don't, because you're probably going to need a shower.
I just thought I'd continue it for you.
Christ, my skin was crawling. I felt dirty. I put the Clorox wipes on my mouse and my laptop just to make sure none of them coated off on my but nevertheless, what we've got to do, though, and what I had mentioned at work today, if I was a serial killer, or worse yet, a rapist, wouldn't it be fantastic to go hang out in St. Louis or Chicago or whatever right now? Because the cops ain't going to come to your house when you call 911. They're busy right now. And that's the thing that kind of that's the thing that kind of throws me off, is that, you know, when these folks, they want to paint with that wide brush, and that cop that comes to your house at 2 o'clock in the morning when your boyfriend's beating you up, or the cop that comes to your house when you're hearing a funny noise outside, or, you know, you got off late at work and you're the only car in the parking lot.
Or renter.
Yeah. You know, imagine a world without police. So, you know, when we're out there painting with that wide brush again and saying that they're all bad, it's not constructive. And, you know, it just, for me, it's immature. And everywhere you go to, it's there are bad teachers. Does that mean every teacher sucks? No. You know, you go into a store and you have a cashier that doesn't smile and doesn't talk to you and, you know, puts the change on the table and you have to pick it up type thing. Does that mean the entire staff sucks? No, it doesn't. And but then again, that store has to have a better habit of policing those type of associates. But I don't know. It seems to me that we're trying to get hurt too bad. We're trying too hard to get our feelings hurt. And did that cop do something wrong? Absolutely. He is an animal and needs to be dealt with in that exact form. But to turn my back on everybody in blue over it, I can't do it.
Yeah,
and
it's hard to imagine, you know, living in a society without any officers of the peace. You know, I don't know how that would work. But, you know, these protests are not, they're not about the one murderer or the one cop. They're about systematic racism and the way it plays out primarily in the law enforcement system that we have in this country. So I'm, as a white man, I can't, I've never had a cop pull a gun on me. I've never been threatened particularly by the police. So I don't really have a lot of experience to speak about it. So that's where I just have to listen to the people, you know, who every day when they leave their homes, they are have that little bit of fear in their mind that they could be could suffer from police brutality. So I think that's what the protests here are about, and that's why a lot of people are, you know, joining the peaceful protests, because we just we want that system to be changed to be more just.
Yeah, I just
saying, just for the record, I stared down the barrel of police weapons.
Yeah. The difference, though, I think, is you came out alive on that deal, and there are a lot of people who are not coming out alive. And it's not your fault, you know, and it's not the only person who pulls is the person who pulls the trigger, honestly. But you have to remember, systemically, it has been more casualties versus being shot. There's one thing being held at gunpoint, another thing being killed. So,
well, then let's talk about the murder rate, where and how, and let's break it down by ethnic rate, and let's break it down by who's doing it.
Yeah.
Do we
and
want
how
to have that conversation? Do we want to pull up statistics?
Right, this, again, this is more about an innocent person suffering police brutality. It's not about the crimes that do occur. It's about if I was just an innocent black man walking down the street, I wouldn't always feel comfortable, and that's the problem.
So all those other murder victims are not innocent.
I highly doubt that you would get shot looking at birds.
I'll do devil's advocate right frickin' now. Same thing Dan brought up earlier. A couple walking out of a cemetery, visiting the grave of a loved one, get shot. That don't get any media. Didn't hear any comments on that either.
That's not a systemic problem that occurs again and again because of the way that they look.
Right.
In other words, it's not worth me caring about. Good to go.
No.
What I'm hearing is what I'm friggin' hearing is a response.
Yeah, and I disagree. I'm with you, Todd. Where I disagree on that is the fact that, again, take color out of it.
No, it's pick and choose.
Somebody has died. Right, and you know that's where we drop the ball on this thing is that we only get fired up when certain things happen. It's almost like there's certain keywords or something like that. You know, when you tell a dog, you know how you'll train a dog and you'll say waffles and the dog goes apeshit.
We only care when it's just tapes.
We don't give a shit about
anything else. That's the problem with friggin' society. Yeah, just for the record, am I agitated tonight coming into the show? Clearly, is it showing? Clearly, so I'm going to apologize.
No, it makes the point, though, is that there should be some type of anger or an equal amount of anger that comes with any needless death, any murder.
Yeah.
Be it done by an officer, be it done by a guy who hangs drywall, be it done by a drug dealer, it really doesn't matter. That young man who shot those two 80-year-old people visiting their dead patriot son at Arlington, where's the outrage?
There isn't. There wasn't even a freaking comment, and when it was brought back up, you know, and that's just the stuff that I tell you guys, It irks the bejesus out of me, and I'm letting it show, so I apologize.
So it does bear saying now and again. Like I said, going back to that cop, hell yeah, that guy was an animal. And I'd be willing to bet, even if he wasn't wearing blue, let's say he was wearing a Walmart uniform, he probably would have been an ass at Walmart and probably would have done something there. He probably would have been one of these guys that tackled a shoplifter or some mess like that, some overzealous nitwit. You see his wife's gotten out of Dodge pretty quick. And for every reason in the world, I don't blame her. But, you know, the guy's an animal. Does that make every cop an animal? No. And the only reason why, hey, do we need to sit down and break down?
That we
do we need
with,
to break down every murder by profession? You know, how many car salesmen kill people? How many, you know, firemen kill people? How many lawyers kill people? It just seems like we're always we just don't get mad. I don't want to put this where it makes a point. It's just, you know, your kids come home with a report card, okay? And they have three F's. You don't ground them over the F they got in geometry. You ground them over the F they got in geometry, English, and social studies. You see what I'm saying? You hit them.
Yes, sir.
On every one of them, because you have to drive home the point that the F is not a success, not an acceptable grade to have on a report card. All right. So if a white guy, or let me go on through a list. If Batman killed Superman, there should be an issue with that.
Yeah, I still say that's bullshit, but that's me.
If Wonder Woman shoots Green Lantern in cold blood, there should be an issue with that. And, you know, there's been plenty of, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, for God's sake. Hey, you guys are on Murder 1, 2, 3. Okay, where was the riots over riots over Jeffrey Dahmer? When those two guys were sniping everybody in D.C., what was our riots over that? When the B2K killer was out there, where was our riots over that? Because, again, people were killed in cold blood. And I don't know, it just, we live in a wonderful nation. Yeah, I mean, we have our flaws here in the United States, but a fake-ass virus has come around and everybody got checks. Because even if you're unemployed, even if you didn't have a damn job, you got a check from the government, okay? And you want to walk around and carry on how lousy this country is? Go. I don't give a damn where you go. I don't care if you go to Belize and sit under a palm tree. I don't care if you go to hell and get on the third floor. Just go. You see what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, Dave. That was too funny. I thought it was the seventh floor. But
I want to throw something out there. You were asking how that cat could stay with the police force. Here's something. I guarantee that if you look at the union support for the employee, anybody want to talk about that one?
Yeah.
Because nobody
wanted
to talk fast in any of the cities where the stuff's going. So,
I mean, how many times have we seen in football where these guys do stuff. Stuff is a lot of things. I mean, Ray Rice, for God's sake, knocked his girlfriend out in an elevator right there. You know, he's not playing football anymore, But he ain't pulling time. You know, who came to his rescue? You know what I mean? And where was the outrage there? You know, and it just, for me, it can't always be a one-way street. It's got to be, the rules have got to apply to everybody all the time. And it just, you know, for me, it was a horrible, horrible thing that happened. That cop needs to hang. I don't even know why we need to try the guy, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it's right there on camera, for Christ's sake. I mean, we don't need to have any type of investigation. There's no, if the glove fits, you must acquit. I mean, obviously he did it. You know, let's go ahead and sentence him now and take him to the gallows tomorrow, because that's what he rates. He's not a human.
Well, Dave, I got to tell you something about that. And I heard Judge Andrew Napolitano say, well, he needs to be charged with second-degree murder. And to do that, they need to charge him with first-degree murder, and he'll make a plea down to second. And that's the way it works. You know, and I did not realize that that's how the legal system worked, but they'll do one thing in order to get the desired result. And I didn't know that. He's probably right. He was a judge. But, you know, and also talking about the fact that at least one of the cameras, the body cams, didn't work. And if all four of them didn't work, then you got a conspiracy on top of that. I mean, these boys are in so much trouble. I mean, you know, and the judge said they should be happy if we keep them in solitary confinement as opposed to letting them out on house arrest. They'll be dead.
I think
that makes sense. And you know, I mean, they're going to they'll pay for what they did. As soon as they get into jail, they'll be dead. I mean, they'll be dead within a week, kind of like Jeffrey Epstein, you know. We don't exactly know, but I mean, who did it? But you know, it just, you know, it's just an amazing world. At least we do have most of the places, unlike what the Queen of Sparkle said. You know, we do have the ability for peaceful protest, and much of that has gone on. And I don't really like seeing the peaceful protesters get hit on being the anarchists. That's one thing we haven't discussed tonight. I mean, there are two kinds of people out there protesting. One's the peaceful protesters, and the other ones are the anarchists that just want to tear the place up. And, you know, so it's a shame that we have those two types of people. They'll never get, you know, most of them will never get caught because it's such a mess out there. And what's bad, what was really sad was this poor black couple that got guns stuck up their noses because they were stuck in traffic by two black cops who, you know, I mean, just, and it's not just interracial, it's intraracial. I mean, people are getting, you know, they're just going too far, and it is a shame. So, Devin, I guess I'm going to give you the last word on what's going on, whatever you want to say. What do you want to say when I give you the last word? You're still there, right?
Well, I appreciate that, John. And it's been really nice talking with you all. And, you know, I do like to hear other people's takes and opinions on what's happening. So, you know, I'll just say, you know, as a gay man, you know, there are many places I don't feel safe. That's part of the reason why I moved to LA, because I wanted to be able to live my life in the way that I wanted to and feel safe. You know, because I'm white, one thing I've never had to worry about is the police or the justice system. It just has never threatened me or never been something I worry about. But there are other things, you know, that I do worry about. You know, and so we, you know, as the gay communities come together, we protested things. We fought for our right to get married, and, you know, I got married after that. So, you know, I'm used to protesting, used to fighting. And, you know, anytime if I see something that just looks wrong, like people are getting treated wrong, for the wrong reason, I'll step in and defend them. So that's my only intention in doing it. If I try to help make the world a better, more fair place for another person, that's the only thing I want to say. I have a great respect for law enforcement, and it really hurts to see things like, you know, ACAB graffiti, all cops are bad. I just think that's terrible. It's just as bad as lumping anybody else into the same category and you know, slapping a label on them. So I just think a lot of things need to change, and we need to be nicer to each other. And it's hard when we've all been stuck inside, and a lot of people are worried about money and their health. So we just need to chill a little bit and try to understand each other better. That's all I have to say.
And that's a good point. I mean, because this has come on the heels of one of the most devastating things that ever hit this country, this very unusual pandemic. And I call it unusual. And we know why it was unusual, because all the estimates, all the projections were so far wrong that sent everyone into a panic. And we're all going to get it. I've had it. I've had coronavirus. I lived. It wasn't any fun when I had it. My doctor said, for sure you had it. And I mean, you know, it's like I got through it, or I was either going to get through it or I wasn't. So I got through it. And today was my first, how can I put it, my first really, really thoughts of depression about this whole thing. I haven't been able to get out for, Lord, 2.5, 3 months. Then all of a sudden, you know, I don't want to go downtown. Are y'all aware that we had a major race riot down here in Myrtle Beach the weekend before Memorial Day? And downtown Myrtle, do what?
I heard about it.
And downtown Myrtle Beach was sauced. It was terrible. Everything happened down there except the place put on fire. So, I mean, and that sure doesn't make you want to go anywhere but go to Walmart neighborhood market and come back to your place. Now, I'm going to tell you that. And I really haven't been out since I heard about that. I mean, our caricature position that we've had for 5 years, it went away overnight with that happening. And then here comes the Minneapolis bad scene. So, I mean, I've been hit twice, and I know what it is to be a little bit depressed, but you just have to keep on going. You really do. And like Devin said, if Devin sees something that he doesn't like, the way people are treated, he tries to help. And that's what you can do to keep from getting depressed. Right, Devin?
I agree with that.
I hope I got that right, yeah. Just trying to do something good. I didn't particularly, this first time ever, I haven't really felt like doing a show because I felt pretty depressed. But now that I've gotten on here and heard what my friends have to say and we've talked about it, I'm sure glad I got on here because I'm no longer depressed. I'm glad to know that we have some people that care about others. And I guess I really hadn't had a chance to talk, so that's what I've got to say. So we're going to have Dave and Todd have their closing remarks, and then we are going to, in a very excited manner, look forward to next week on the One and Only Pop Culture Star. So who's next? Dave,
I'm going
you're
to
next.
Jump in now.
Okay, Todd,
the,
you can jump in.
Look, guys, so we don't necessarily agree on everything. As the Russian chaplain would say, Tusky Shitsky. That's the way it is. It's okay. But let me tell you, something going on, you need an ear? Hells yes. Devin, you don't necessarily have my digits, and I damn sure ain't putting them out over the air. But, you know, you're in the IM stuff. If you want an ear, or if you want to just, you want to maybe not so energetic right now over the course of the next 3 weeks, give me a little while to recoup after that in energetic conversation. Just, you know, there's some work things going on. The Yeah, hey, you know, if it's Tampa, by all means, don't just for the people out there listening, y'all don't get to see the IMs and stuff that we share and things like that. How's this? If you think that some of the energy I had with Liz, stuff like that, if you think we're not going to greet each other with a hug right off the bat when we talk next, you're kidding me. Coronavirus be damned. So don't y'all, just because maybe it's a damn fine example. Again, poor Devin, he just, you know, he walked into this trap tonight.
Well, Devin, I got bad news for you. I added you to our chat list. Okay.
You can always
find Todd or Dave or Liz, or you can't find me because I'm the only one always calling you.
What we need to do is get you back on, but we'll talk about something good this time. We'll talk about something fun. I don't care if it's finger paint, Play-Doh. I don't give a damn. Something more positive than society falling apart. Yeah. Play-Doh is pretty good stuff.
Speaking
you know?
Of the retired Marine, I got to mention something about Play-Doh. You know, the colors on Play-Doh taste pretty much the same as the colors on crayons.
And taste.
Well, I'll tell you what we can talk about next week. I know this, you're going to love all this, but in about 10 days, we have the Lizard Man Festival, and it is online. So we might even talk about Lizard Man next week. I know that would make Dave happy.
Talk about my damn lizard again.
That's right. Well, actually, Devin's going to be one of the speakers, so it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Devin, we're going to talk about that here in a couple of days. Okay, I promise.
That's great.
I have everything put together. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right, and Todd,
Devin,
you're right.
You have a couple of days to go. No thanks. You can come up with your excuse. You got the lead on.
Oh my goodness. But anyway, yeah. Well, Todd, and those are great words. Yep, at least you're in the world's greatest support group because we're all friends. It doesn't matter what it sounds like, we're all friends, and that's great. And Todd, thank you. And Dave, what have you got to say? You always can do the craziest closing remarks.
In closing, I get frustrated, and I know I could come on and, you know, pretty strong when I get on my rolls and everything. But again,
yes.
I think people misinterpret that it's a good versus evil. And, you know, me, my family, if we want to break down the crayon box, I married a yellow woman, and my daughter married a black man. Okay. So, my family is just like a bowl of M&Ms. There's all kinds of different colors floating around the bowl, all right? And when we all come together, I don't look and take score and go, okay, my grandkids are a quarter of this and an eighth of that and a sixteenth of this. They're my grandyoungins, and I love them. And I will defend them to my last breath, as will I and my entire family. I don't give a damn if you're purple, pink, mauve. I don't care if you have paisleys, polka dots.
Mauve.
And again, it's about the character of the person. It's about good versus evil. And it really breaks my heart to see people pick teams when they should really look at the big team, which is good versus bad. And, you know, like you were talking about, you know, in Myrtle Beach, where was the citizenry of Myrtle Beach in that wonderful town? Where were they? You know, when all that was going down, why didn't they stand and hold hands and go, no, you're not going to do that to my city. You're not going to do that. You are bad people, and you are not going to wreck my city.
Problem is, we didn't know it was happening, Dave. It happened in the middle of Saturday night. We didn't know. It was terrible.
The good have to quit sitting back and letting these things happen. And, you know, to Devin's point, what he said, when I see wrongdoing, I like to stand up for it. God bless him for saying that, because that is exactly what I'm getting at. You've got to have that ability to call it exactly what it is. And it's not one nationality. It's not one religion. It's not one race. It's not one sexual orientation. It's not one anything. It is good versus evil. And until we realize that and digest that, this is never going to get fixed. And I don't care if you're in the United States or you know, Somalia or Egypt or France or wherever the hell else on the planet you want to be, until we are able to understand that we live in the greatest country on the planet and let's quit concentrating on bitching about the things that are broke. Let's fix them. And then when we fix those, let's concentrate on making the good things better.
But amen.
Until we quit getting all butthurt over things, and to be honest with you guys, and not to extend the conversation, but Minneapolis, okay, there are cities out there that have had the same thing happen. They burned down the AutoZone. They burned down the Target. They burned down this. They burned down that. Okay, what happened in these cities is you were no longer able, the corporate entities, the Targets, the Walmarts, the AutoZones, the Walgreens and all those kind of places, said we're not going to build another million-dollar building just to have it burned down the next time somebody gets mad. So we're just not going to build here anymore. So the people who live in these areas now have to get on a bus and ride 45 minutes to buy a gallon of milk.
And toilet paper.
Okay. And toilet paper, if they have it, correct. Now, are there grocery stores that have popped up in these areas since? Yes, but they have been opened by foreign entities, immigrants, and they don't have a whole lot of allegiance to the red, white, and blue. They're here to live the American dream. But as per thinking about George Washington and Abe Lincoln and all those good things, that's behind them. They get in there, they open these stores up, and they charge $7-$8 for a gallon of milk. So now these people who live in these cities where everything gets burnt down, they have a choice to go 45 minutes out of their way to pay at a reasonable price for groceries, or to be abused by what they used to call them back in the day, carpetbaggers. You know, a person from another place coming in and making a killing in a place they're in. An opportunist, if you will. So they have no choice but to pack up and move just to survive. Got nothing to do with politics or jobs or anything, just to eat the basic things, to feed yourself. They have to throw what they can in the back of their cars and drive away from their homes. Okay, they don't put a Century 21 sign in the yard. They have to just get up and leave, almost in a refugee type thing, and they have to go somewhere else and start their lives all over. And these are people who alarm clock, whether you're black, white, purple, green, it don't matter. These are people who their alarm clocks, mauve, chartreuse, their alarms go off at 06, and they're at work at 08. You see what I'm saying? These are people just like us. that every day they're doing the right thing by working and paying their taxes and doing what they got to do. But because of these hoodlums, do you honestly think that anybody's going to go into Minneapolis and rebuild right now? It'll take years if they bother. So anybody who's living in Minneapolis right now is obviously out of work. And if you're out of work, you got no money. And if you got to go an hour away to get a box of freaking Pop-Tarts, you're in even worse shape. Okay? So those poor souls, they're the victims in this whole thing. You know, they're the ones that now are going to have to find out what to do with the rest of their lives. And, you know, Trump came out and said that if you're affiliated with this Antifa thing, you're considered a domestic terrorist. I think every American, regardless on what side of the feud you might be, has to back him up on this. And he hasn't been right all the time, I can tell you that. And, you know, I'm a registered Republican, I can tell you. He ain't been right all the time. But he's right on this. And we as Americans need to back this guy up. And when you go in and you set fire to a target or whatever, and you run in there and you come out with shoes or TVs or like that one kid did with a box of Legos.
That was funny.
That was funnier than hell. Jesus Christ, I thought I was going to pee my pants laughing at that. But leave it to some geek to go run in there and loot the Legos. I mean, that was fabulous. But these people need to be stopped. These people need to be dealt with. And calling them terrorists, I have no problem with that because that's exactly what they are. They're spreading terror because people like us feel like we have to stay inside and protect our families from these people. Our jobs are in jeopardy because of these people. So,
2 weeks ago, Minneapolis was a model city. People really wanted to live there. It was wonderful. In 2 weeks, that's all changed. And the people that changed it, the people that destroyed it, I'm not talking about any things that went on. I'm saying the people that wanted to destroy for that poor lady who now has nowhere to go to buy her food. And right. She can't even get on a bus for 6 months. The people that did that are the ones that should pay the heavy price. And the ones that are paying the heavy price right now are those poor people in those lower income parts of the cities that don't have anywhere to go. They can't get there. What are they going to do? How are they going to get food? And they are.
And again, color means nothing. Sexual orientation means nothing. Religion means nothing. All y'all are hungry because there's nowhere to buy food. You know what I mean? And see how that brings everybody together? And again, that's what we got to realize. That's how we stop and look at one another and take all of this, hey, I have a star on my stomach, but you don't thing, like that Dr. Seuss book, and start saying, hey, we are paddling the same canoe up Schitt's Creek. We need to come together. We need to help one another. We need to fix
this.
That is
true. Act like Devin. When you see someone getting stuck with it, go help them out. That's the best.
Absolutely.
That's the best piece of advice for the night. So gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, our lady, the Queen of Sparkle, has sent her. She had to leave. She has to get up very early in the morning. We were so glad that she was here with us. We so do appreciate Todd Saxon, Dave Atwell, and our guest for tonight from Hollywood, California, Devin Tate. And sure. I appreciate all of you because I'm in a lot better mood than I was in. Takes pop culture. It just takes pop culture stars. You're welcome. Everybody, it's been great. We'll see you next week. I'll talk at least 5 minutes on the Lizard Man just because Dave would not want me to miss that opportunity. Right, Dave?
Right on.
I mean, you don't want Lizard Man to get shortchanged now, do you?
No, of course not. The all-encompassing Lizard Man. Yes.
Yes, because after all, being shortchanged makes sense.
Yes. Where's the outrage for Lizard Man? Where's the outrage for this guy?
We'll discuss that next time. All right, folks, it's been great. The British lady is getting ready to come on in about a minute. So thanks to everybody. Pop Culture Stars, another successful show. And we'll see everybody the next time we see him. Devin, we'll see you Thursday night. And Dave and Todd, we'll see you next week. So take care. Have a wonderful week. And when you see someone getting put upon, go help them. That's what Devin said. And I believe Devin was right. Have a good one, everybody.
Good night.
All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming on, Devin.
Devin,
have a good evening.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
That's